This episode of the Lou Rockwell Show is sponsored by...
Is the growth of government driving you crazy? Is it frustrating you that you can't do anything about it? Now you can. Join the Free State Project. Move to New Hampshire and get active with other liberty activists who have already slowed the growth of government in New Hampshire. Go to freestateproject.org.
This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
When President Obama arrived here in New York on Monday for his marathon week of diplomacy, he immediately interjected himself into a local race for New York governor. This evidence of the White House taking an aggressive role in local politics, hoping to influence the upcoming midterm elections. But there's growing contempt for Washington, and it has spawned secession movements nationwide, with more and more states exerting their power to maintain their freedom from the federal government. Is nullification in the air? Is secession in the air? Joining me now is Lou Rockwell, president of the Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama. Lou, welcome back to Freedom Watch.
Judge, so great to be with you.
Thank you. Can the states secede from the union? Did they enter into a contract with the federal government from which they can walk away by enacting legislation that undoes what they did when they joined the feds?
Well, I think we just need to look at, for example, at what Jefferson and Madison wrote in the Virginia and Kentucky resolves in the late 18th century to talk about what does the Constitution mean if the federal government starts getting beyond its constitutional bounds. So yes, they held that, of course, states could secede, and also they could interpose themselves. That is, if the federal government, the central government, were trying to do something within a state that was unconstitutional, the state government could say, you have no jurisdiction to do something illegal within our state. And then later, of course, the Jeffersonians developed, as you mentioned, the doctrine of nullification, whereas the state could just say, that law has no, not only we're doing more than interpose ourselves, we're saying that law has no effect because it's illegal, has no effect on our state.
Our colleague, Tom Woods, has pointed out a wonderful example of nullification throughout American history. Up until the Civil War, we had the Fugitive Slave Act, the second piece of legislation that President Washington signed into effect after he became the first president. And the Fugitive Slave Act, as you know, authorized kidnapping runaway slaves and immunized the kidnapper from local prosecution for kidnapping, providing the slave was returned home. The state of Massachusetts, of all places, which you and I view today as the People's Republic of Massachusetts, but the state of Massachusetts, of all places, nullified the Fugitive Slave Act and said to anybody that in the state of Massachusetts that kidnaps a runaway slave will be prosecuted for kidnapping under Massachusetts law. Could the states do that today, where the federal government clearly exceeds its bounds under the Constitution?
Sure. In fact, all we have to do is look to the example of Massachusetts, which actually held the states could secede. There was, if we remember, the Hartford Convention,
right,
that took place during the War of 1812, where all the New England states said, wait a minute, we can secede, we can nullify, we can't interpose. Look at the documents of the Hartford Convention. So, of course, the states have the right to do this. This is the essence of states' rights, which means a decentralized government. Jefferson said the worst possible thing that could happen would be a consolidated government, by which he meant a highly centralized government in Washington. Of course, we have something far beyond Jefferson's nightmare, far beyond anything George III ever thought of doing. And so, yeah, we need to return to the original American principles of secession, of nullification, and of interposition.
What is the social contract theory? What is the idea, or social compact theory, that one enters into a compact with others and agrees on a common government, but when the government does more than the original agreement, one has the ability to leave that compact? Did I state that fairly?
Yeah, well, of course, that's right. In a contract, both parties have to agree to it. And if the original agreement said either party can get out, then you can't have one party. This is true in business law, or it's true when it comes to the national government. You can't have one party saying, you are not allowed to leave no matter what I do to you. I can stick a gun in your head, I can kill your children, I can take all your property, you're not allowed to leave my jurisdiction. Well, that's not the American ideal. That's not what the Constitution was about. It's not what the Founding Fathers talked about. And it's so thrilling that Americans all over this country are reading their history. They're reading the Constitution. They're looking back at what the founding fathers had to say, and they're coming to the conclusion, which, Judge, you've been talking about for such a long time, that this current regime is unconstitutional. They pay no attention to the Constitution. I can remember Ron Paul telling me that when he would raise issues of the Constitution in the House of Representatives, they would laugh at him.
Yeah.
They don't laugh at him anymore, by the way.
No, no.
And they're not laughing in Washington about anything going on in this country.
No, they're not, because our friend Congressman Paul has really lit a prairie fire, which is burning all over the country in places as disparate as New Jersey, where they're going to try and legalize medical marijuana, even though that would be adverse to the federal law on marijuana, in Montana, where they have already legalized weapons and attempted to handguns and attempted to make them immune from federal legislation. I've often thought it interesting, Lou, and I wonder what your thoughts are on this. If a state legislature were to prohibit law enforcement from enforcing federal laws, I don't think the feds could afford to enforce all of their programs and laws in a given state without the assistance of the locals. They might actually have to pack up some of their bags and go back to Washington.
Isn't that a great thought? No, of course, you're exactly right. They could not possibly. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of federal laws and regulations, virtually all of them, of course, unconstitutional, that they attempt to enforce. And they do need the state police, the local police, the sheriffs, and all the other law enforcement at the state level. So were the state legislature, yes, to say unconstitutional laws will not be enforced within our boundaries, the feds would be in big trouble. What a great day that would be.
We had a case in New Jersey where an FBI agent was arrested for speeding on the Garden State Parkway, and his defense was the supremacy clause, that because he was in a car owned by the federal government, and because he was employed by the federal government, and because he was going from one work site to another, the state laws didn't apply. You can guess what former ex-Superior Court judge friend of yours said, "This doesn't work in New Jersey."
And I suppose if he'd run over somebody on the way there, that would have been okay, too.
Absolutely. Lou Rockwell, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on Freedom Watch.
Thank you, Judge.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.